I believe that's our primary purpose this morning to be here, is to adore, to worship our Lord and Savior. We are together today, I think first and foremost, to do that. Today is May the 8th, 2016, and it's also a time to honor our mothers and our grandmothers, the mothers of our children. We're grateful for our mothers here this morning. I believe if we only devote an hour of worship or a half hour of worship to Christ or to our mothers, we devote and honor them for only one half hour a year, that's probably not sufficient. I believe Scripture calls us to more than that. This is a day for greetings and expressions of love. It is also a day for remembering. I don't think that anything has ever been said or ever will be said that is eloquent enough or expressive enough to articulate the true value of a mother. Motherhood is a special gift from God. And I'd like to talk about mothers this morning in my message. Before we do that, let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, today we're together, first and foremost, to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and to worship Him in what we say this morning. We want to also honor those present here, mothers that are here today. Scripture talks about that, to honor them. We'd like to look at this morning. We're grateful for faithful God-fearing mothers. We would pray that you would raise up a generation, a coming generation, and as you tarry, a further generation. You would strengthen our mothers. You would strengthen the church with godly mothers. Sandy Ridge would be even more alive and on fire for you in the future because of mothers that care and serve you. We pray a blessing on everyone here this morning, the fathers, those that are not married, those that are children, those that are elderly. We think of those that would like to be here and aren't here. We lift them to you as well. Pray that your presence could be with them this morning as well. Just guide the message. May the Holy Spirit be present, give words to speak. May you receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It seems to me that something miraculous happens when a mother or when a woman has her first child. Maybe we could say that when a mother gives birth to her child, there is the birth, of course, of the child. Then there is also the birth of a mother. A woman becomes a mother. I remember some of those feelings as a father. I don't know how it is to feel like being a mother, but I do know some of the same feelings that a father has. I remember the awareness of awe and responsibility when we had our first child, and how that affected me. And I believe there's something special happens, the birth of our first child. It is a miraculous gift of creation. An eternal soul is born that will live forever. That's always just an awesome thought to me. And as children, we relate to our mothers differently through the years. At age 4, We think of our moms as being able to do about anything, and we depend on them. At age 12, we come to the realization that maybe mom doesn't know everything. Age 14, we probably, some, hopefully not you, but some say, well, mom really doesn't know anything. At age 18, can be years when young ladies say, and young men say, well, mom is out of step with the times. She really doesn't know what's going on. Age 25, suddenly it dawns on us, well, maybe mom does know a few things. And then at age 35, we say, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion. At age 45, we say, I wonder what mom would say about this. Age 65, I wish I could talk with my mother. Has that been in your experience? Some of you are in different categories here. A mother has the angelic voice of a member in the celestial choir as she sings the lullaby to the babe in her held lovingly in her arms. I love to hear my wife sing. I love to hear her sing to our children. And she still sings a lot. So many times, mothers display patience when many a man would have given up. There was a mother pushing a shopping cart through Walmart. Her daughter was riding in the cart and she was continually screaming. You've heard that happen. Hopefully it wasn't you, your daughter. Her mom kept saying, "Now calm down, Ellen. It will be all right, Ellen. It's almost time to go home, Ellen." And one of the checkout clerks saw this and said, "Ma'am, you are to be commended at how patient you are with little Ellen." The mom said, "Lady, I'm Ellen." Mothers seem to also have great intuition. It is difficult, as I recall my mother, to get something past mom. And you've heard the expression, and I'm applying it to my mom. You can fool some of the people all of the time, and all of the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom. I don't know if that was your experience or not. Mom somehow had a way of just seeing through us, knew what was going on. We didn't have to tell her. She knew. I'd like to look at three points I have this morning, or three scriptures maybe I'd like to look at as I think about moms and mothers. The first one has to do with honoring our mother. The second one is the influence that you moms have, that mothers have, that grandmothers have. Third one is, how can we support our mothers here in this church? In Exodus 20, we have the Ten Commandments. Verse 12 is the fifth of the Ten Commandments. It says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Honor is placing high value, or seeing something as a treasured thing, placing high value on it, as I understood the Greek here or the Hebrew here. And Paul, in Ephesians 6, verse 2, he goes to this commandment, and he says it like this. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." It's probably the only commandment with promise. What's the promise? Well, it says that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, that living long on the earth has to do with our physical life. There's a promise attached to honoring our mother. Some may say, I don't know, I have nobody here in mind, I don't think anybody here could say, well, my mother is not worth honoring. And I've known some mothers that I would have had a very difficult time honoring. I thought to myself, that woman would be very hard to honor. I know one of those mothers that her children honored her in spite of how she conducted herself. That was always a blessing to me. The scriptures, I believe, are clear. There is no real qualification on her part for her to qualify to receive your honor. It doesn't say honor your mother if she's a good woman or a godly woman. It says that children are to honor father and mother. We really had no choice in who our mother was. That wasn't up to us. God gave us the mother he had. And he says, for his higher purpose, he says, you are to honor your father and you are to honor your mother. So let's remember that. Even our young men and young ladies, as we live at home, perhaps that's the time when we really need to remember to honor our parents as God has commanded us. The only requirement for her to receive honor is that she is your mother. It's the only requirement I see in Scripture. If you honor your mother, it says you will receive a blessing. And I'm not sure that we could just say this will always be the case without exception. But generally, it is the rule. If you read through Scripture, you read through the Proverbs, you will see how a person or a son or a daughter is cursed if they do not honor their parents, father and mother. Jesus, I look at the example of Jesus, how he honored his mother. Even as he hung on the cross, one of the last things Jesus did on earth before he died on the cross was to take care of his mother. Even in the dying moments of his life, he never stopped loving her. He never stopped caring for his mother. He never stopped honoring her. In John 19:25, it says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys were standing by Jesus as he died, according to John 19. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. And the traditional thought is that this disciple was probably the Apostle John himself. And Jesus went on to tell this disciple that Mary was now his mother. And in turn, he was also saying that this disciple was now her son. He put that responsibility on John. Jesus made an oral testament in front of witnesses, which makes it binding in the Jewish tradition. And he formally places his mother under his disciples' protection, requiring him to provide for Mary after his death. And we too are called to honor our mothers. A mother is sometimes considered old-fashioned to her teenager, and just plain mom to her third grader. and simply Mama to her little 2-year-old. But I would say there, as we grow older, there's hardly a thrill in life that can compete with pointing to a woman and saying, "That is my mother. She is my mother." My mother will be 93 if the Lord tarries and she lives on June the 2nd. My dear wife takes care of her one day a week, typically. And I usually spend lunchtime there. And I have a handicapped brother that I help take care of on that day as well. And my mom doesn't remember what was said. Moments later, she'll repeat herself. Now, I don't know if it's dementia or what you'd call it. She can visit, and it appears like she's fine. But 5 minutes later, you go through the same conversation. She often asks Esther, "Where did you meet John?" And I sometimes listen in on the story. Or she'll ask my wife if she knows how to say the days of the week in Dutch. Then my wife says yes, and she'll say the days in Dutch. And if you know how Thursday is in Dutch, has to do with Donderdag or thunder, then she'll say, "Dankt het gedonnert." I never heard her say those things when she was younger. So I don't know where that comes from, but somehow it's a recall. And then she'll ask my wife if her parents are still living, and they, of course, aren't. So my wife, graciously and kindly, tells her. And then she'll ask, "Was it hard for you to leave Kansas and to come and live in Indiana?" Of course, I listen in on that, too. My wife honors my mother as she would her own mother. And I'm blessed by that. The second thing I'd like to look at Scripture about is the influence. How mothers influence. In Acts 16, verse 1, it says, "Then came he," and it's talking about Paul being on a missionary journey, "then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus," or Timothy, "the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek." Verse 2 says, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go with him." Paul needed someone to go with him to help serve on these missionary experiences, these missionary journeys. And here he comes and he sees a man well reported of, a man that is an exceptional young man, apparently. So the others spoke highly of him, and Paul desired that he would go with him, and he did. And in fact, it says there that because he was not circumcised, because of the fact that his dad was a Greek or a Gentile. And we would know that Jewish law would have forbidden that to happen. So I'm not sure what the experience was in that city or those towns, how closely that the Jewish law was followed. But it indicates there that Timothy went with Paul and he became a valuable assistant to Paul. I was amazed how many times in the writings of Paul, the different letters, almost without exception, he mentions Timothy. At a certain point, he would send Timothy or when Timothy comes, I will send her. Timothy will do this, he will do that. So he was a very, very dependable man. Now, what is it? How do we raise men like that today? How would you go about raising a son like that in your home? In 2 Timothy 1:4, now this was a letter then that Paul later, probably in life, wrote to Timothy, to encourage Timothy. Timothy was, I think, a bishop at, was it Ephesus? I'm not sure, I'd have to look again. But Timothy had a call, and he was serving the Lord, and Paul encouraged him with two different letters. And here in 2 Timothy 1:5, he's talking about Timothy coming to the Lord and being a faithful man and having an unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means a sincere, authentic faith. And then he says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now here we have the name of his mother. She was a Jewess. So they were Jews. His mom was, not father. And I'm persuaded that in thee also. We often emphasize, and I believe rightly so, the importance of the father in the home and his being the one that is the initiator, the one that leads, and the one that should be teaching. And how often, if he's not carrying his load, his responsibility, there's failure in the home. And I'm not sure about, it says that she was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. I don't know if his father paid attention or not to what was going on. He wasn't a Christian, I don't think, according to the scripture here. So here we have a grandmother's and a mother, the influence that they can have. A grandmother and a mother can leave a powerful imprint on the lives of their children. To the point, and I was amazed, just looking at this scripture, how Timothy was influenced. Paul brought it out, said, it was because you had a grandmother and you had a mother that were faithful. So we could say, never give up. I believe there's homes, even sometimes, sad to say, Christian homes, where the father is so busy, he doesn't really pay attention like he should. Well, don't despair, mothers. God is faithful. Do your part. Do what God has called you to do. It won't only bless your children, it will also bless your husband. Be faithful. Wherever you find yourselves in, be faithful in life. Be faithful to God. Mothers, grandmothers, their lives, their actions speak volumes. Four pastors were discussing the merits of the various translations of the scriptures. One pastor liked King James Version the best because of its simple yet beautiful English prose. Another liked the New International Version because of its modern language. The third preacher liked the Message Version even better since it was paraphrased. The fourth pastor was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, I like my mother's translation best. The other ministers asked, your mother translated the Bible? He replied, oh yes, she certainly did. My mother translated the Bible into her everyday life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for grandmothers. who live in and proclaim the faith of Christ Jesus. Moments, time spent with godly grandmothers and godly mothers. Take the time, grandmothers, when you're around, when your little grandchildren are there. Take them on your laps, sing, read to them, spend time with them. Often those moments with godly mothers and grandmothers become the foundation of memories that in turn lead to faith in God. That impact the family for years to come. You'll never know what the impact is. Excuse me. The third thing I'd like to talk about briefly yet before we close is supporting our mothers. Recently, I was visiting with a young mother after church here in the back. Don't be offended if I use you as an example. I'm not saying your name. And this mother mentioned how life, there's just so many things that she does, she has questions about, and it can seem overwhelming to her. And she said she longs for, not exactly verbatim what she said, but as I recall what she says, she longs for, she desires older women to speak into her life. Women she can go to with her questions. Now maybe you're a mother, a young mother, and you have no need for that, and you don't want it. But I know there are some of you that feel that don't feel that way. And as I thought about that later, What she desires is a very biblical concept. And I'd like to read a scripture from Titus chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, likewise, teach the older women. Now he's instructing Titus here as a pastor. Teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live. I'm reading out of the NIV. King James calls it the aged women, and I thought it would probably be better to use NIV so you wouldn't think you're aged. But older women. Any woman that's older than you, you could consider an older woman. Titus was to teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, which I don't think we have a problem with that here, but to teach what is good. That's what He's calling us as pastors to teach our older women to do that, to be that. And then verse 4 says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure. Now they're supposed to be teaching the younger women this, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, keepers at home, King James says, to be kind, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Or blaspheme, I think I'm saying that right. The word of God. And my question is this happening at Sandy Ridge? What can we do to facilitate this? Some of this can happen where older and younger mingle. That's one of the reasons I believe we want younger men, older men, younger women, older women in the same class room. So that gives opportunity for that some of that to happen. We see that happening in house fellowships. There's opportunity there. Sunday school class, prayer meetings, sewing circle, and other things maybe that I don't think about. But what about more intentional one-on-one? And I'll say this, we older ones, and I'm talking about myself included, and maybe some of the older women, maybe I'm talking for you, we older ones hesitate to offer advice unless we're asked. You know what you think about somebody that goes around spreading his advice all the time when you're not soliciting that advice. So how should this happen in the church? I believe we have older women at Sandy Ridge who have a wealth of wisdom and knowledge gained by years of experience and faithfulness in the ebb and flow of life. And that's what I think our younger women desire to tap into. How do you do that, younger women? How do you tap into that? Our society values youth and scorns the aged. I think we could say that. But Scripture puts high value on the gray hair of godly men and women. I believe we should, here at Sandy Ridge, we should put value on that. This past council meeting, a young couple shared with me what they were facing in life. This young mother broke down in tears. Life seemed overwhelming. And I believe she would benefit having an older woman come alongside. Would you agree? Younger women, may I suggest, and I'm using my own reasoning here, may I suggest, especially those whose moms are not here, maybe your moms are even out of state. Maybe your moms don't relate well to your mom. If your mom is here in the church, of course, there's probably someone that you can go to and pour out your woes, and you can get some assistance and help and whatever else. But if you're a mom here, a young mom here, that doesn't have close relatives, my wife was in that category, so I know a bit what I'm talking about. Pick someone you admire. And is that difficult to do, to pick someone that you have felt has done well and you admire? Sometimes this takes a few years to get to know people, and ask them to assist you. Would that be too hard for a young woman to do? Older women, maybe you need to take the initiative. Be alert, especially to moms, to mothers who don't have relatives close by. I think older women are discerning and can see that. How can we follow this scriptural principle here of the older women teaching the younger? How can we do that? It says in Scripture to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love. That's a part of what Scripture calls us to. Most of us have fond memories of mothers, grandmothers, and of home. And though some of our mothers have been gone for years now, we have so many precious memories of her. So you think about it today. Mother and home, especially when we're older, when you mention one, you just automatically think of the other. And when most of us think of home, we forget the troubles that surround us. We remember the sounds and the sights and the smells of home and just the security that we felt there. I remember the screen door banging in the summertime. I can hear it in the back of my mind. I remember the smell or the aroma of bread baking just out of the oven. I remember the smell of a favorite meal. Home, we enjoy a sense of acceptance there, of being loved. I hope that's our experience. Few things are more powerful than the tears and the prayers of a mother. Few things are more tender than a mother's hug or a compassionate touch. A godly mother translates the scriptures into her everyday life. The best thing that we can do for our children, our grandchildren, our friends, is for each of us to be personally right with God. To walk in the way of the Lord. To never be satisfied, but to continually seek to be transformed and to be conformed into the image of Christ. If we focus on that, I think we're going to do well as mothers and grandmothers. We need to honor our mothers and each day and every day and each other every day, I believe. Scripture calls us to honor our parents. So maybe this is the day. Today is the day to tell your mother, your grandmother, and for us husbands, our wives, the mother of our children, that they're appreciated and that we care for them and that we want to honor them and that we love them deeply. Jesus honored his mother even as death approached. And I don't think we need, or we cannot, we don't want to do any less than to honor our mothers. Shall we kneel for prayer?